Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. God is faithful, and we need to praise Him for who He is. The pandemic has been very devastating and very painful in many ways. And on Facebook and YouTube, and I've seen so many people lost their jobs and lives, and it's been very devastating time, and there's no question about it. And not just that, we see polarization happening everywhere, and it's a mess. However, God is faithful as He was 2,000 years ago. He was faithful in 2020, and also He will be faithful in 2021. And He has been advancing God's kingdom, His kingdom, in an amazing way. So today, I want us to talk about what God has been doing all around the world, especially through technology. And there will be three things I want to share from today's session. So let's look at the slide. First, we'll look at what is the reality? What is really going on? And the second one is, what is God doing among amidst all this, the pandemic? And lastly, what should we do? So we're going to go through one by one, and I really pray and hope that God would really speak into your heart as we go through this, because I personally, last year, I learned so many things that really opened my eyes to see the great ocean, I mean, the opportunity for the discipleship and the mission. So I really hope that would be the case for you as well, as you are looking into the reality, but not just to stopping in reality, but we can maximize it for God's glory, for joining His work already, what He is already doing. And then as a response, we want to equip our churches to do it together for His name. So let's go to the next one, which is the reality. What is the reality? What is going on? And I will show you a graphs, and that's not really from me, but I took it from internet, but I think it really shows us what is really going on, what's been going on even before the pandemic. But I think God has prepared the way for His glory in this way. So the first one is this, that daily time spent on social networking. Maybe this is not really surprising you, because you're already spending a lot of time on your Facebook and Twitter and your social media network, or your YouTube account, and there's no question about it. But not just you, let's see how others are doing. And I think this is not just in the United States, but all around the world. So let's look at the graph right here. In 2012, the average time spent for the social networking was 90 minutes. But as you can see, it's growing every year. In 2019, you see that 153 minutes per day. This is not a weekly minute, so this is a daily time that people are spending, average people, which means people, they spend more than 2 hours a day regularly on social networking. I don't have the data for 2020, but I assume that the hour or the minutes must have grown even much more, because people had been locked down, and they were spending most of their time at home. So maybe doubled. I don't know. Maybe if you have a data, please share with me and others as well. So we can see the growth of the time that people are spending, and you can say that 10% of their day they put their eyes on the computer screen or on their cell phone. Now, the next slide is every time spent in a lifetime. So this is a little bit different approach. That let's say people are living up to 75 years, then those people are spending about 26 years for sleeping, 8 years for watching TV. Okay, stop watching TV. You're watching too much TV. But not almost matching to the time of watching TV, people are using social media 6 years, 8 months. Can you believe this? Wow, this is so much time that people are spending on that. And 3 years and 2 years and 1 year, 1 year doing housework and all. And I don't see the work hour here, but I think it will be equivalent to sleeping hour because it's about 7 to 8 hours a day. So social media or networking has really influenced our life in a huge way. Some Generation Z said, I'm so tired of the social networking, so I'm going to quit. So maybe in the future, we may see another trend that people, younger generations, doing some exodus from this social networking and all this digital, and maybe go back to analog. But we don't know what the future holds. But at least for now, we know that social media took over a lot of time, our time, globally, not just here, but all around the world. I'm from Asia, I'm from South Korea, but probably the ratio would be even higher there than here. So we know that whenever I go to another country, I see young people, old people, men and women, and all, you know, everyone is holding a cell phone in their hands. So we cannot really deny that reality. Now, why am I talking about this? Here's the thing. In 2000 years ago, when Apostle Paul and Peter, when they were preaching, when they were meeting people, where did they go? They went to a marketplace or synagogue because that's where a life was revolved around. That's where you can meet people. Now, in these days, where do you need to go to meet people? Of course, you can think of the mall and school and workplace. Yes, that's definitely true. You can still meet with those people in the apartment complex area. Yes. However, where do people spend a lot of time? As we saw, people spend a lot of time on the social networking. To me, social network is like a modern day synagogue. It's like a modern day marketplace, or it's like a modern day well. It's when Jesus met a woman at the well, you know, the well was the place where people were sitting and talking together. And that's what's taking place in the social media, right? So I really do see the strategic position of this social media in terms of missions and dialogue and evangelism and even discipleship. Now, today's title is Cross-Geographical Discipleship Through Online. Now, you know that Acts 1:8, that Jesus commanded us to be witnesses of him, not just in Jerusalem, but Judea, Samaria, to all around the world. So Jesus already commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. That means cross-cultural, but all everywhere. That means cross-geographical. So we need to do both of them, cross-cultural and cross-geographical. Now, that means that we need to meet with the people who don't like us, who don't look like us, who don't speak like us, who don't speak our languages. And not just that, we need to go to where they are, that the maybe 10,000 miles away from here and all. So we need to do that. Now, God has given us a very creative way that we can do both of them in a one setting, which is internet. Because you can go right into their spot through internet. Of course, it's not a physical presence with them, but you can still have that experience to talk with the person. Let's say you are in North Carolina. I'm sitting in North Carolina, Raleigh, but I can talk with someone in Lyon, France, just right now through Zoom. And in fact, I did that about a week ago. We had a reunion gathering, and people were connecting from Philippines and Indonesia and France and Texas and all at the same time. It is possible. It is definitely cross-geographical. It doesn't look like, but it is technically. So God has given us a great opportunity to do this missions through cross-geographic, through internet. So let's move on. So that's the reality. Now, what is God doing? So that's the next topic that we're going to look at. Philippians 1:12. And this was God already doing 2,000 years ago. I want you to know, brothers, that what was happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, Paul was speaking this when he was in prison. What does that mean? He was saying, what happened to me? You know, the imprisonment of me has really served to advance the gospel. Doesn't it sound ironic? I mean, Apostle Paul was the apostle of apostles, and he was definitely a missionary of missionaries, and he had to preach everywhere, but he was in the prison, but the gospel was even more advancing while, despite his imprisonment. What does that tell you? The gospel is not limited, and the gospel is not limited by the human presence. Of course, gospel is shared through person to person. There's no other way, right? However, God used the creative way at that time. What did God use? God used his letters. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 1:4. So Paul was writing a letter to the church of Ephesus, and not just to the Ephesian church, but also to us as well. Now, when you think about the missions and discipleship, you think that person-to-person evangelism, of course, God still uses that. But when you think about 2,000 years of span, that we still have Paul's letter in our hand. Paul is dead. He's gone. But we see his work through the Bible, through his letter, so that we see the transcendent, the mean to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we see it in our life right now, that means Paul did not have to be with us physically, but Paul's letter is with us. We can read him. Likewise, we don't have to be present at some place, but we can still share God's word through internet or letter or any creative ways. So that is something that I want to take from scripture. And now let's see how God has used modern technology to impact lives even these days. Global Media Outreach said, founded in 2004, the internet ministry pioneer has touched lives in every country on earth, presenting the gospel an average of 350,000 times a day and seeing 223 million decisions for Christ to date. Isn't that amazing? Now, millions of worried people, now this is what happened just a few months ago during COVID. They turned to Google with their anxiety over COVID-19, have ended up connecting with Christian evangelists in their search results, leading to a spike in online conversations in March. Back in the United States, a volunteer at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association chatted online with a young mother named Brittany, who worried that COVID-19 would take her life and her children's lives. The volunteer offered hope and peace, and Brittany too accepted Christ. Between mid-March and late March, GMO saw a 170% increase in clicks on search engine ads about finding hope. Clicks on ads about fear increased to 57% and about worry 39%. The ministry's 12.4 million gospel presentations in March represented a 16% increase over the average month in 2019. Now, this is what God is doing all around the world. Now, it's continued. In 2018, Barna Research reported, now this is 2 years before pandemic though, but it says reported that most Christians agree technology is making it easier to evangelize, and that 58% of non-Christians said someone had shared their faith with them on Facebook, with another 14% hearing a testimony through other social media channels. Okay? Now, what about the cross-geographical? I mean, definitely, it does happen. Southern Baptist evangelist Sammy, this is not me, by the way, Sammy Tippett has plans for gospel witnessing during the coming months in Iran, where 45,000 COVID-19 cases have been reported. At age 72, Tippett has experienced the power of internet evangelism only in the past 4 years. His journey online began by preaching evangelistic sermons to villages in India via Skype. That led to a Skype event where 10,000 Indians gathered to watch Tippett preach via video. And 5,000 indicated a desire to commit their lives to Christ. This is from ChristianityToday.com. God is using modern technology for His own glory. And that is something that I want to see more in my own ministry as well. And I'm going to share a little bit about the local examples. What about North Carolina? And also, I want to encourage you to really rethink about the great opportunity. A lot of Christians say, oh, internet is evil and we should stay away from it. Yes, it is true. It can be used evil. And of course, we need to have a priority in our life. Internet it's not our priority. God's word and prayer, our relationship is priority. And everything else comes to secondary or third. So we should not replace our priority with modern technology or whatsoever. But if we are truly in Christ and His work, if God uses them, internet, as His means, His tool, why not use it for His glory? So I want to encourage you to really reimagine the possibility and the potential of discipleship, geographical discipleship, even through the internet, which you can do at your place. Okay, now I want to share a little bit about the local examples.
Well, Pastor Sammy, I want to say thank you very much for your continuous guidance and dedication to us throughout this journey of 70 days to the Bible. Reading from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations has always been something I wanted to complete, but was something I was never able to dedicate myself and my time to. But through your help, Pastor Sammy, I was able to achieve that before Christmas through our 70 days journey. Through reading the Bible from front to back, God really spoke to me. And through His word, I was able to start my own family ministry and being able to create sermons every week in order to help my parents and my wife and daughter. Through reading from Genesis to Revelation, one of the verses that really stuck out to me the most and was most impactful to me was from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 5 to 7. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I want to say thank you again, Pastor Sammy, and I look forward to our next journey together in your 365 empowerment.
All right. Now, this guy's name is Cole, and I've been discipling through internet over the last 3-4 months. Now, I have a YouTube channel. It's called the 21C Moses. You can check it out. And last year, around September, I did a special project called 70 Days Journey to the Bible. So it is going through the Old Testament and the New Testament in 70 days. And he was baptized in Lake Huron in September. And he joined this 70 Days Journey to the Bible. And then the story goes just as you saw in this video, that he has a non-believing parents, but God has really put on his heart to start a family worship together. So every week he's been leading a family worship together, not only his immediate family, but also with his parents, sharing the gospel with them. So God has been really doing amazing thing. But here's the thing. Where does he live? He does not live in North Carolina. He lives in Canada. Okay. So there's a cross-geographical the boundaries in between those two, because even now, because of pandemic, it is difficult to travel over to Canada now, even though it's so close to each other. So, and I never met him in person yet. Isn't it amazing that even though we didn't meet together in person, however, God opened the door for us to meet together through virtually, and also God has opened the door for not only evangelism but discipleship. Now, he was baptized in past September 24th. not in North Carolina, not in Lake Jordan, Jordan Lake, but he was baptized in Lake Huron. And I got to be, I was able to witness his baptism through Zoom. So it was just amazing to see how God used virtual means to disciple this guy. But it's just not me, but a lot of people are using Facebook or Twitter or YouTube to reach out to the people. Let me share a story. There's a guy who is witnessing and reaching out to Muslims, and he shared a wonderful story just 2 months ago. He said there's a group of people who are reaching out to Saudi Arabians through social media, and then the five people accepted Jesus Christ in where they are. Now, how did it happen? Through social media. You know, when you think about the Saudi Arabia, I don't think you can go there without the proper permission from Saudi Arabia. So it is a very closed country, especially to the Christianity. There's definitely a persecution going on there. However, God opened the door for sharing the gospel and evangelism and discipleship and even missions there. And also, my friend is doing an amazing ministry through Facebook. Every week he preaches through Facebook live, and people from more than 28 countries, the Hindi or Urdu speaking people from 28 countries are watching the sermon every week, more than 15,000 people every week. Can you imagine the potential? I mean, he was just preaching from a place in North Carolina, right? And of course, when he was doing it, he was just filming himself. So it was just by himself alone. There was nobody around him. However, so many people at the same time were watching gospel, listening to the gospel message. And my friend, who is a Lahu pastor, and he is preaching very faithfully, just like many of you do every Sunday. But he also uses Facebook Live, and he got to know that in northern Thailand, the group of the pastors and church planters are also being trained through his message by this Facebook Live. So God definitely is using technology for his glory, not only to share the gospel, but also to make disciples and strengthen churches virtually as well for his name. Now, and about this time, you may ask this question, then what about local church? Then if we do everything online and people are just spending so many times and online, then we don't really need a local church anymore. Then the technology will take over all the evangelism and discipleship. Then we don't need a local church pastor or evangelist. Then we don't need to meet face-to-face, and in-person gathering is becoming useless. Far from it. Far from it. I want to say not at all. I want to say this. Maybe you may think me as advocating for the technology only, 100% technology, and there's no need for the local church. Not at all. It's the opposite. I see the more need of local churches. I see the more responsibility of local churches. So that's something that I want to see the next. So what should we do? What as a local church? So that's the next topic. Church and local church. The church is the big C. The universal church that God has brought together. The local church is the physical body of Christ being in a specific location. Okay, so there is definitely a clear difference between the big C and the small C, local church. I really do see both of them are essential in advancing God's kingdom. Now, you cannot get away from this big C, because especially in these days, everyone is kind of connected through social media. And this is a great opportunity for Big C to work together creatively and harmoniously without fighting, but with really getting down to the bottom and to help one another and to love one another, because that's what You know, Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34, 30, 35, I give you a new commandment to love one another. And then when you love one another, the world will see that you are my disciples. So we need to show the big C love, the Christ's love to the world. And we can use the internet to do that. But local church is God's tool to really embody His glory in the local community. And when you think about all this internet thing, and you can talk, you can say all the good things, but if they do not see Christ's example, reflection, representation physically, then these words would be just void. We need to show Christ through local churches. There's no question about that. I love local church. I'm also a pastor at a local church. It is so important to show Christ to our immediate community. We are accountable to them, that we need to show as hands and feet of Christ Jesus. We need to share the gospel and then make disciples face to face and in person, one-on-one, or a group, or group outreach, community outreach. We should never stop them just because of internet is there. Internet is a way of evangelism. It is not the way of evangelism and discipleship. So we should still strengthen our local body of Jesus Christ. Imagine that if there's no local church, and if everything is just church online and nobody is meeting together, and they're just meeting online only, then how can you truly see if they are walking with Christ in their daily life, right? So we should be accountable. And to put us accountable, we definitely need local body of Christ. And we need a physical presence of Jesus Christ through His church. So again, local church is good. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is this: not only to emphasize on the importance of local church, but also how should we work together, and how should we make the balance between the big C and local church. So let me give you five things that I think is very essential to really move forward. First, we need to equip local church. Now, as you equip local church, you need to equip local church to grow in the Word of God and grow in the knowledge of God, grow in the unity, so that there will be mature Christians. That's in Ephesians chapter 4, 12 and 13 and 14. And we definitely need to really focus on that. And as you do that, you can also instill in their hearts to be missional in any way they could do. So they can go physically, take an airplane and go to a different countries and to do the mission work. But at the same time, whenever they are on their social media, you can equip them to do evangelism and discipleship using their social media. So that's how you can make a balance between local church and the big C. You are equipping your local church members to be the mission agents in big C, not just in your local church, but also in the big C, because this is all for the glory of God. Local church exists for the kingdom of God, right? So we need to all work together. So there are five things that you can consider your equipping for your church members when they do the cross-geographical evangelism discipleship through online, through using the digital means. So there are five. The first one is one-on-one, then mass. Now, of course, we love numbers, right? And you want to say, okay, you know, I preached last week on Facebook Live and I reached to 20,000 people. Praise the Lord. And yes, praise the Lord. But here's the problem. I mean, it's not just a problem in the online evangelism, but also in the mass evangelism alike. Because if you do the crusade and, you know, a lot of people may show up and, you know, they can maybe want more than thousands of people can come and come to the altar to accept Jesus Christ. Amazing. But how do you really keep up with them? There's always question about that. So mass evangelism is great, and we still need to do that. But I would say we still need to focus on one-on-one evangelism because there's more accountability. Just like my brother Cole, you know, even though we met through online and virtually, we never met in person, but still every week I have a meeting with him and, you know, Bible study with him through online. And he's been growing that way. Of course, I did not grow him. It is God who grew him. But there is something powerful in one-on-one. So that's my encouragement for you when you equip your church members to do online ministry. Please let them focus on one person at a time. And then if God brings more people, that's great. But let them be accountable to each other so that there will be a true discipleship taking place, even if it's virtual. Now, second one is interactive than mono. I have a YouTube channel, but let me tell you, YouTube is very monologue, right? Of course, there's a description, the live, and you can always leave your comments there. But it's more like just one person speaking. So when it comes to discipleship, I'd rather have an interactive way, such as a Zoom, because you can actually talk with the person, right? So you can listen to the person and you can examine where he or she is spiritually. So you can give some guidance for that person live. So this is, again, this is the preference. Sometimes you need some mono teaching, like you can use YouTube or Facebook Live and anything that takes. But don't just do it alone. You can do it with interactive way as well. Number three, intentional than spontaneous. The event, geographical digital missions definitely takes plan. It's not spontaneous. And it looks like a spontaneous because always when you scroll down and something pops up and it's very random. But if you plan it, if you be intentional and pray that the Lord would give you guidance and wisdom as you navigate how you can maximize your social media to impact the non-believing world, you need a plan. You need a very thorough plan. So please pray that the Lord would give you wisdom that you can really be used by Him, by depending on Him. So be intentional. Number four, this is the marathon, not then a sprint. A lot of people misunderstand this, because this is the internet and it can happen at a snap and you can get all kinds of people all at the same time. So you can expect a quick result. But no, again, this is a spiritual ministry and God is the one who saves us. It's not internet. It's not us. It is still God who is enthroned, who is mighty to save. So we still need to depend on Him. Just because you started a YouTube channel doesn't mean that your YouTube channel will lead so many people to Jesus Christ overnight. No, it takes a spiritual warfare. It still takes a patience. So we need to be very patient and we need to pray together. Now, internet is just a tool. This is not a magic wand, okay? So always you need to depend on the Lord because this is marathon. And finally, cooperative than individualistic. Now the social media can promote individualism even more, even though it says the social media, even though it loves to, it was created to connect people online. But the social media can be a personal kingdom. We have to be very careful. Now, this is a more of a sin issue. A lot of people try to use social media to show off, basically. And they want to show how great they are. And, because it's a very cheap place to do that. Now, if you are in a big church and you already have a podium, that you already have a lot of audience, that's great. But if you don't have those luxuries, you can still use Facebook or YouTube to reach out to that many people, which is amazing. I'm not against it. But the flip side of it is this. This is the temptation that you may think like, oh, I have so many followers. Look at me. I have 5,000 Facebook friends, so I can reach out to them all at once. So I will just do my way. No. We have to be very humble in this. We still need guidance from one another. So I want to say, just be humble and try to find someone who is doing digital missions and get together with that person and pray together and think about, brainstorm about how you can together reach the lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ through this internet. Okay, so you can create more of a community, online community, to do this together. So the cooperation is very important. And also, now, if you're more like a parachurch person, that you already have an online ministry going on and you're doing pretty successful, I want to say in this way. Now, do not ever, ever neglect the local church. Your job is not to get people out of local church, but your job is rather to send people to the local church so that they can serve in their local church, or they can plant local churches so that they can shine, they can reflect, they can represent Christ where they are. So please do not suck people from local church for your own kingdom, but send them so that they can serve and grow in their local churches, to multiply more local churches, to represent Christ as his hands and feet. So this is it. And I hope this session has been helpful for you. And of course, this is a pretty new area for me, and I'm very excited about this, but also, you know, there are some ups and downs, and I still need a lot of prayer in this. So you can pray for me as well, please. And also, I want to pray for you if you have any prayer requests in this matter, and if you want to grow more in the digital discipleship, please send me an email. Again, my email address is sjoo@ncbaptist.org. Love to pray with you and talk with you more. Thank you so much, and may God bless you. And thank you so much for listening to my session, and I'd love to get to know you more. So please send me an email, sjoo@ncbaptist.org, if you have any questions or prayer requests, and if you want to really grow in this digital missions and how you can make disciples through using digital. I'd love to get together with you. Not that I'm an expert, that I know everything, but I'd love to learn from you as well, and we can pray together and work together for God's glory. So thank you so much, and may God bless you.